Okay, thank you for joining us today on Radioactive Magazine. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Today, our host is Tom Huffman, and Tom is going to be interviewing Mike Dean from American Promise.
Mike is a local activist. He's been working with American Promise virtually since its inception and since American Promise became a separate organization. Mike, now what is the purpose of American Promise?
Thank you, Tom. We are American Promise is committed to three principles. One, that corporations are not persons. Only humans have constitutional rights. And secondly, that money is not speech. That we're all equal, and those of us with more money don't get the right to hog the conversation. And third, that we all have a responsibility to govern ourselves, and we should have that right to be able to govern ourselves. And as an example, we strongly support the reinstatement of the Voters' Rights Act.
And the decision that gave that basically equivocated political donations equivalent to speech was...
That sounds like Citizens United.
Well, Citizens United, there was a previous one in the 1970s. Beg your pardon.
Okay. There was Bilotti, and there was the name escapes me right now. But yeah, that was it dates back to the 70s. There was a Supreme Court case that kind of allowed for speech to for money to being equal to speech, while still keeping the ability for corporations to spend all the money they pleased on elections. Buckley versus Valeo.
I was thinking of.
Yeah, that was in the 70s. There were a number of Supreme Court decisions in the 70s when a gentleman named Lewis Powell he had just written a letter to the United States Chamber of Commerce and had basically said that, hey, these democratic people, small d Democrats, are taking over our country, and we, the corporations, need to fight back, and we need a plan. And this is when the Koch brothers got involved back in the 70s, and Lewis Powell, shortly after he sent this letter to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, he got nominated by Richard Nixon to be the next Supreme Court justice. And he and Justice Rehnquist is renowned as a very scholarly and respectable conservative justice, but Rehnquist was very much at odds with Justice Powell's approach to corporate personhood, mm-hmm. and very much at odds with that. And he was in the dissenting view on a number of those cases. And unfortunately, he was on the lesser side, the 5-4 side, and there were some real curious activist decisions made by the Supreme Court, very much in the spirit and setting the table for Citizens United. And that was in the 70s, and there have been people fighting this fight since then. And Citizens United just brought the attention to a much wider group of people. That's when that's when I heard about Citizens United, my jaw dropped. And I think a lot of people felt the same way. And the more we hear about it, the angrier and more quizzical mm-hmm. we get. And, it's corporations are not people. And yet it's the 130th birthday of corporations, because it was 1886 when mm-hmm. Santa Fe Railroad got snuck through a mm-hmm. provision. It was a Supreme Court decision in which the Supreme Court said, we are not ruling on, they explicitly said, we're not ruling as to whether or not corporations have constitutional rights. But this case has nothing to do with that. And then the court clerk, who was a former vice president of a railroad company, inserted a headline or a synopsis of the case, said that hey, corporations are persons, and this case establishes it. And that is the case that's been cited ever since when anyone ever brings up the possibility that corporations are not persons and should not have constitutional rights.
And I believe right after Buckley versus Vallejo, there was another decision which basically reaffirmed the idea that a corporation was a quote-unquote legal person with equivalent rights to a natural person. Up until the Santa Clara decision, there was a corporation was considered an artificial person with only the rights or privileges granted by the charter which established it. After the Santa Clara decision, the corporation was equivalent to a natural citizen with all of the rights of a natural person, a naturally born citizen, and basically given eternal life. Before that, they existed only as long as the charter granted them existence.
Well, I'm not certain of that, Tom. It did not grant them all of the rights of human beings. For example, they can't vote. For what it's worth, at least all of us can get out there and vote, and a corporation can't. But I think that it's still up to the charter of the corporation, the life expectancy thereof. But obviously, all of them seem to have eternal life at this point, depending on whether they go bankrupt or not. And even then, it's questionable. But as far as their constitutional rights, they were slowly expanded through case after case and Supreme Court decision after Supreme Court decision on into the teens and the 20s and even the 30s. And they were finally, obviously Theodore Roosevelt tried to fight back on some of this this corporate power that was getting out of control. But it's been a long time since we've been able to do anything to fight back against this. And it's so central to all of the issues, or many of the issues, that we're up against to this day. Certainly we understand that Citizens United allows for unlimited spending, and it created the possibility of dark money, so that now there's corporations from other countries are funding our presidential elections to some degree, as great a degree as they'd like to, in fact, because there's no way to, once you allow corporations to spend money on elections, then there's no way to prevent that from, it could be Putin's corporation that does that, and there's no way to know that Vladimir Putin isn't spending money on Trump's election.
And the remedies that have been suggested are basically legislative or wait for a new Supreme Court. But American Promise is now working through the amendment process. And you want to discuss that?
Well, absolutely, yes. And Hillary Clinton recently mentioned in her acceptance speech at the DNC that she's going to see that one is put forward in the first 30 days of her office, and we're happy to hear that. An amendment is far preferable to waiting for another Supreme Court justice. An amendment asserts the will of the people and makes it the law of the land. And I think it's all of our, 80% of Americans, whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent, at least 80% of Americans are found to have to agree that there's way too much money in our politics. And an amendment is the best way and the only way to be certain that this becomes something that won't be reversed by a subsequent 5-4 Supreme Court decision. We need an amendment, everyone says it's so hard to get an amendment passed, and it's not easy. Those of us who can remember the Equal Rights Amendment think, oh gosh, well that never even passed, and of course women should have equal rights. But the fact is that we've passed 27 amendments throughout our nation's history, and an amendment overturned a Supreme Court decision that said that women can't vote. The Supreme Court said that women don't have the right to vote. Well, then the amendment, there was a big effort to get an amendment passed to ensure that women can vote. There were to be that 18, 19, 20-year-old boys could be sent overseas to go fight in Vietnam and any war that we happen to choose, but they don't have the right to vote. And as we know, an amendment was passed that gave them the right to vote, gave 18-year-olds the right to vote. There was an amendment, the Dred Scott Supreme Court decision said that African Americans are not equal citizens. And, of course, an amendment was passed that's established that the Supreme Court was wrong and that African Americans are equal citizens. Unfortunately, corporations took advantage of that and said, hey, we are equal citizens too, and kind of snuck in under the line there in order to be considered as people as well. But yeah, we're very committed to an amendment, and we're not the only ones. I mean, this is, as I said, this battle has been going on for 40 years, and it is reaching a crescendo. Mm-hmm. What we are doing is trying to ensure that it's a cross-partisan approach, because you need everybody in agreement. We can't all be fighting over whether it's a Democrat or Republican idea, because this is an idea that everyone can see. Its time has come, is well past due. And so the one thing about American Promise is that we are an insistence upon a cross-partisan approach, a nonpartisan, cross-partisan approach. We welcome conservatives who, as long as you support those three principles, which is truly a conservative approach to government and democracy, then you are welcome in our group.
But might point out, across the country, a number of states, municipalities have passed advice, I believe this advice to legislators, legislative advice resolutions saying that they support an amendment to the Constitution which would end corporate right personhood and would end the idea that money equals speech. In 2012, the Kansas City Chamber of, beg your pardon, the Kansas City City Council passed such a resolution. And I was one of the people gathering the signatures for that resolution.
And as you, absolutely, as you say, over 700 cities have passed resolutions that say that corporations are not people and money is not speech. That's 700, and at least 200 of them have been voted on by citizens, put on the ballot, and citizens have always overwhelmingly supported that view and that resolution. In the city of Kansas City, we went to the city council to get that done because there is the way our charter, the city charter, is drawn up. We can't put it on the ballot, but if we did, I'm confident that 70% or 80% of voters would say, yes, corporations are not people. Money is not speech.
I know when I was gathering signatures, almost everyone agreed. There were a handful of people who expressed views to the contrary, but that, like I said, it was a handful. Yeah. Most people understand that money corrupts our legislative process, that we right now, our Congress people spend more time talking to lobbyists, gathering money for their next election, rather than listening to their constituents.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, they spend half their time doing it at least, and so they don't have time to listen to what the ordinary people have to say and their concerns. I mean, a study by Princeton said that the opinions of the vast majority of Americans has a zero effect on public policy. And so basically our concerns are not their concerns, and that's because the billionaires' concerns and the corporations' concerns are their concerns. American Promise is committed to strengthening our democracy and making sure that people are heard again. And the only way to do that is to get us all on a level playing field, and to do that, we need to pass an amendment that says that corporations are not persons. Mm-hmm. Money is not speech.
We might look at the issues involved, practically every issue we can think of. The issues, most people, almost every American citizen wants to preserve Social Security and Medicare. However, billionaires haven't liked the idea ever since Franklin Roosevelt passed Social Security back in the 1930s, and every so often you get someone who wants to make major cuts. There was actually a commission, the Simpson-Bowles Commission, which recommended what amount to cuts. At least they recommended a new COLA process, which would essentially end COLAs. No one out here likes it, but billionaires like it, so it still gets raised as an issue.
Exactly.
And Paul Ryan keeps trying to sneak that into the budget.
Exactly. It's the billionaires paying for because they want to cut, they want to destroy our union rights, they want to take away our Medicare, they want to take away our Social Security, and because they don't need it, and it's not optimizing their profits. I mean, and anyone who's concerned about global warming should be almost first and foremost
Indeed.
Concerned about corporate personhood, because any law that we pass, if there's a law that perhaps wants to require solar panels to be used and to encourage it even, that law could easily be met with a lawsuit by a corporation that would say, an oil corporation, yeah. a coal corporation that would say, nope, you can't do mm-hmm. that because that harms our business and our business, and we have equal protection under the law to run our business. And because we have Fourteenth Amendment equal protection under the law. And so that's just one example. I mean, ExxonMobil has, in the 70s, they discovered global warming and the effects of carbon dioxide on the atmosphere and how it was going to harm us in the long term. And they set about saying the opposite. And everyone knows that there's groups funded by big oil that have been saying, no, there's no such thing as global warming. And the reason they're saying now is that, well, we could do that because we have First Amendment rights to say whatever the heck we want to say.
The American Legislative Council has managed to repeal laws or subsidies in many states for people wanting to put solar panels on the roofs.
Yes.
They've actually have laws now which discourage that.
Yep.
It might be a good idea to stop and say, this is Tom Huffman. I'm talking here with Mike Dean of American Promise, and we're talking about the issue of money in politics and what we can do about it. Mike, we want to go on and discuss what websites people can go to for more information and what books they might read.
I'd certainly encourage people to go to AmericanPromise.net. And as I said, our group is a cross-partisan group. We have people such as Alan Simpson, whom you just mentioned in another context. He's on our council, He's and also a historian named Doris Kearns Goodwin is on our American Promise Council. And a gentleman named Bill Moyers is going to be speaking in Washington, D.C. at our first ever conference, National Citizen Leadership Conference, this September 30th through October 2nd in Washington, D.C. And everyone knows Bill Moyers. He actually wrote the foreword for a book, since you asked. I can recommend a book written by Jeff Clements, who is the founder and president, or co-founder and president of American Promise. That book is called Corporations Are Not People. Highly recommended. Tom Hartman wrote a book, again, highly recommended, called Unequal Protection.
Slow down, repeat the names of those books. Corporations Are Not People by
Jeff Clements.
And
Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
We might also mention the most recent Derek Cressman's book, When Money Talks.
Absolutely. Derek was in town recently. That's an example of some of the support that we're getting from new national organization. Again, this organization really just came into existence right at the end of January of this year. And they've been very supportive of our efforts here in Kansas City and in several other cities, and we're just gearing up as a national organization. So anyone who wants to join the Kansas City region, American Promise, is encouraged to do so, because you can get involved and really get your elbows out and really make a difference in this group and in this movement, because we're a grassroots movement. We used to be Tom, you and I used to be in Kansas City, moved to amend. And if anyone was approving and excited about what Move to Amend was doing, certainly they are still in existence on a national level. But here in Kansas City, we are American Promise now because we're committed to a cross-partisan approach to things. So, those are good books and et cetera, and good Move to Amend is a good website too. You can go there, but AmericanPromise.net has a good website, and we are excited about what the future holds because we're ready to make sure that Hillary Clinton's amendment proposal does what she is suggesting that it might do.
And we need to, if people want to get involved with a local group, they should go where?
Go to our Facebook page and like our Facebook page, but go to AmericanPromise.net and sign up, and then we'll be able to get a hold of you. I do want to extend my hand to everyone who supported Bernie Sanders, and I know you were one of those people, Tom, a lot of people were. And Bernie Sanders understands how vital this and how central this issue is. In all his years of Congress, the first time that he actually authored an amendment proposal was in 2011, I believe. And his proposal was that corporations are not persons and that money is not speech. Corporate power is at the center of most of the ills that are facing this country. And he understands that. So if you want to get behind a group that is doing something to get an amendment passed to correct this terrible misjudgment in our legal system and in our judicial system and in our political system, go to AmericanPromise.net.
As the issue has evolved, originally we were talking about corporations, profit-making entities, but more recently the discussion has gone to any artificial entity which would limit which would say that not only are corporations not legal persons, also, unions are not legal persons. Nothing against unions. We like unions, but they are not legal persons under the law. They are subject to the same restrictions in terms of their contributions as corporations. We want everyone on a level playing field.
Well, when corporations are outspending unions 10 to 1 or more, you're fighting a losing battle trying to get on a level playing field. All we're doing is saying the obvious, that corporations can be constrained via their charters, and they wouldn't even necessarily be constrained that much. It was just that they virtually all corporations, or most of them, are fine. When they can claim First Amendment rights to not speak, for example, they don't have to publish a label. You can't even put a label on your food saying what's in your food.
Well, I believe that is Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, no, that's First Amendment right to not speak.
Corporations do claim Fourth and Fifth Amendment
protections
as well. They have used the Fourth Amendment to prevent inspections, on-site inspections.
Yep, the EPA, their hands are tied. Exactly, Tom. Fifth Amendment right to privacy. Also helps them fight off any kind of inspections so you're absolutely right. They claim them as they need them, but they certainly don't have all the responsibilities of a citizen because they don't have to live here and endure some of the things that we do as people, yet we don't have the ability to fight back on a level playing field.
And we might mention for the last time, if you want more information, you go to AmericanPromise.net. Derek Cressman's book, When Money Talks, is available in your library or your local bookstore. Corporations are not persons, or not people, is also available. All of Tom Hartman's books, such as Unequal Protection, are available, again, at your library or local bookstore. Unequal Protection is available online if you want to do a Google search. Unequal Protection is available in its entirety online.
Oh, Google Books. And so just to wrap up, Tom, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity and us the opportunity to go over this. I know it's an issue that's dear to your heart, and we're very excited about this, the National Leadership Council this fall. We're excited about the future of American Promise. As I said, it's just getting started. We'll have Caitlin from Move to Amend is going to be one of the speakers at the National Citizen Leadership Conference. So we're kind of trying. American Promise is interested in being an umbrella organization to get all of us on the same, talking to each other at the very least, so that we can get an amendment passed, because we need all of us moving, rowing in the same direction, and that's what's going to start happening very soon.
American Promise was created as a grassroots organization from its inception. Some of the others have a strong national leadership. They're mostly grassroots, but their leadership is to some extent top down. Ours is bottom up.
Absolutely. And we get support from the central organization in Concord, Massachusetts, where the first shots were fired against the British soldiers in 1776. We get a lot of support from them, but we have to do it ourselves on the local level, and we want people to get up and join us. Thank you, Tom.
And thank you. Thank you, Mike, for being with us today.